Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Are Marvel, where we explore all of the corners of the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse. We are also the official podcast of the We Are Marvel Facebook group. Go ahead and check them out today, and while you're there, go on over to the We Are Marvel pod page. Give us a like and follow as well. You'll be glad you did. We are your hosts. My name is Justin.
My name is Jeremy.
And we are Marvel.
Welcome, everyone.
Hot damn, I did it on the first try.
You did. You had a smallest of little hiccups, but you pulled it off beautifully.
That's what I do. Oh. I hiccup and then I pull it
the
off.
Story of his life.
My criminal record says about the same. He hiccuped up and he pulled it off.
Beautiful. It's quite the turnaround.
Yeah. This week we're finally going into Amazing Spider-Man. Duh.
Yes. Justin knows all about the duh in this one.
Yeah, it's fine. I finally got around to watching the Folie à Deux trailer
this morning,
and it looks fantastic.
It does. It looks like a very interesting story. Like Andrew and I said, it looks great. The shots look great.
Someone at work was like, God, there's one shot that they didn't tell me which one it was that we just kept like pausing on because it's so pretty, and I think I can guess which one, but it's like, yeah, watching that trailer this morning, I was like, yeah, I like Joker more than I tell people I like Joker. I mean, the more I watch it, the more I like it.
Yeah.
And the more I can remove the fact that it's not the Joker.
Right.
It's a Joker.
Yes.
The more I like it anyway.
Okay.
But what do you do? Yeah. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're talking about another deal. Amazing Spider-Man deal. So, without any further ado, let's grab our Icarus and get into The Amazing Spider-Man 2. When New York is put under siege by Oscorp, is it though? It is up to Spider-Man to save the city he swore to protect, as well as his loved ones. It's halfway there.
Yeah.
Tagline, no more secrets.
Really, though?
Are there, though? I feel like there are. Directed by Mark Webb, no relation. Screenplay by Alex Kurtzman, Robert Orsi, and Jeff Pinkner, based on Spider-Man by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, starring Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, Jamie Foxx, Dan DeHaan, Campbell Scott, M. Beth Davids, Colm Feore, Paul Giamatti, and Sally Field. A bunch of people, I don't know who the hell they are or were, and then Paul Giamatti and Sally Field. But it makes sense given their contribution to the movie.
Yeah.
And, what's her name? Felicity Jones.
That's right, yeah. Which I totally keep
forgetting about.
Yeah. And, yeah, I love that her name was Felicia. Yeah. Like, it just go with Felicity. Like,
well, I mean, as we'll discuss, it is a character.
That's true.
But it's just, you know, not a well-done character. released March 31st, 2014 in Tokyo, and May 2nd, 2014 in the U.S. Budget of $200 to $293 million. I feel like they could get that closer. And then a box office of $709 million. So not bad.
No, not bad at all.
But the reviews were not great. Let's see how this one goes with your overall thoughts. Because I have things to say here.
My, okay. I thought that it was better than I remember.
Right.
Which is, I guess, surprising, because I thought it was just trash. And I really don't find a lot of issues with it. Yeah, there's little things here and there. Mm-hmm. Small annoyances. And, of course, Paul Giamatti just shouldn't have been in this whatsoever. It was pointless. Could have been anyone else. Yeah. And not done the Rhino at the end. And we'd be good.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a little too much on the love story side of it, but I mean that's Peter Parker. That's how his life is. You know, it's real. So I really had no problems with it. I enjoyed it. It had some funny parts that I was actually laughing out loud about. And yeah, so I enjoyed it. I was surprised by. Yeah,
I'm the same. I wasn't sure where you were going to fall because you're much more critical about things than me. Surprisingly, even though I'm much more angry. Most of the time.
Yeah, that's true.
It's watching it yesterday morning, it reminded me of something that I learned doing Pod and Gore, which was give films another chance. When I did that show, mm-hmm. there was a Hellraiser was a movie that I saw when I was younger, and I hated it. I thought it was so boring and dumb. And Halloween 3 Season of the Witch was another one.
Okay.
And we rewatched them for the show, and I loved them.
Wow.
Especially Halloween 3. It now has a place on my horror shelf.
Wow.
With the very expensive NECA set that they put out.
Okay.
Like, you know, it might take a couple years, some, you know, other films to influence watching something like Madam Web to see what bad movies really are.
Yeah.
And given it, because I don't think I've seen this since I saw it in theaters.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And we talked about, I don't know if it was on air or not. I don't think it was, but my experience in the theater watching this was not pleasant.
Yeah.
To any of the senses. And so I always had a bad taste in my mouth, somewhat literally, because of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever watched it again. And watching it yesterday, I was like, it's not perfect.
No.
I'm seeing the things I remember not liking the first time, and some I still don't like because
mm-hmm.
they don't make sense. But for the most part, I actually really liked this, and it was like, yeah, it's not perfect, but I want to see what happens next.
Yeah, and like it did well in theaters. Like
it got shit on. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, which is no, you know, caliber of anything.
Yeah,
was at 51%.
Okay.
And I mean, it just got massacred, and I was right there with it. You know,
yeah.
I massacred it too. And I think in hindsight, looking back, I'm like, yeah, it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The ending's fantastic.
Which ending?
Like her death.
Yes, okay.
And the aftermath of that.
Yeah. And even the way he came back and all that worked. It's just the reason. Paul Giamatti, great actor. That was the problem.
That was a problem.
Yes. Yeah, correct. But and I think that is another thing that did hurt it, is people were kind of having some issues with it. They wanted probably a lot more because we're getting a lot of great stuff out of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finish it off. You have people leaving the theater watching that idiot run down the street. And you're just like, this was shit.
Yeah.
And that's why you leave.
And I'm watching it.
And you don't get anything after the credits, which they maybe sat around and waited for, and that's even another disappointment.
Well, it's like the end of the credits were all the before the credits.
Yeah.
I remembered the scene of the shapeless man walking through the LexCorp-style vault with a bunch of names in it. I thought that was the after credits.
Yeah, it would have made sense.
And I scrolled through the credits to make sure I wasn't wrong. And there was something in the credits.
Oh, was it?
Kind of.
Okay.
Just the imagery in the credits is supposed to evoke the Sinister Six. But yeah, I watched it and I went, you know, it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it ended because it gave us what we got.
Right.
But all the people online, you know, after No Way Home came out, that were like, give us an Amazing Spider-Man 3. And I said, no.
Yeah.
Now I'm going, I kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see what he did next.
Yeah.
But I feel like every Spider-Man 3 leads to, in the MCU case, it'd be the Spider-Man 4, leads to the inevitable black suit.
Yeah.
Like, the obvious thing you would do with Andrew Garfield next is the black suit.
Right.
The obvious thing they should do with Tom Holland next is the black suit.
Yeah.
Because they're at their lowest,
mm-hmm.
and make them even lower, and then they have to bounce back.
Yeah.
But
it is. It is right there. It's ready.
Okay, well, that went much more positively than I thought, so let's just jump in to this. So we got a sort of a retelling of the beginning of the first film, but from a different perspective of Richard Parker destroying even more of his research, and essentially what led up to the opening moments of him in his office being trashed and them having to fuck off.
Yeah.
And then what happened next.
Right.
And that plane crash was brutal.
It was.
I forgot about
that. I did too. Yeah. And I'm sitting here with my daughter like, oh, boy, this is intense.
So when a plane crashes into a mountain, candy shoots out and everyone's okay because there's candy.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine. Yeah. They're just stuck up there. That's why they're not here.
They went to a black screen, so they're sleeping.
Yeah, it was brutal. But yeah, I mean, it was good, though.
It was. I was watching, and I was just like, wow, that's a chicken dance. Like, I am in it. I'm liking it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the moment of it switching and all going wrong.
Right.
And, you know, the new suit shows up, and I like it so much more than the last suit.
Okay.
it looks classic Spider-Man.
It does.
Like he did in No Way Home. Not the like I understand they wanted to step away from classics for the last movie.
Yeah.
But it was so like X Games-y that I'm glad we got a return to classic Spider-Man.
Which he was a skateboarder.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he touched a skateboard this time.
Thankfully, I don't think so. I was very happy to not have that. Yeah, and then we get our first glimpse of Paul Giamatti screaming in incoherent Russian.
Yeah.
It's... What pisses me off is that it's Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
If it was anybody else, I'd go, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But it's Paul Giamatti. He's fantastic.
Yeah, and he was, at this time, also doing very good.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, well, this is before he...
Yeah, it wasn't Mickey Rourke coming in to do Iron Man 2 because he needed the boost in his career. Like, it's Paul Giamatti. He's never needed a boost in his career in his life, even when he was doing wacky shit with Malcolm in the Middle. Okay. Frankie Muniz. That weird, where he was all painted blue.
I don't remember that one.
I never watched it, but it was, anyway. But it's Paul Giamatti. He's amazing. And to have him, like, you want him to be Russian, fine, but have him talk.
Yeah.
Like, have him emote, have him act.
Yeah.
Not just scream angrily and be... And that's what pissed me off about this movie, is that it was almost like Transformers 3, where it was a good movie, but every 10 seconds was some stupid-ass little kid joke that wasn't funny. Mm-hmm. That just takes you out of it.
Yeah.
And then you have to get back in. And just as you're getting back in, there's some other stupid joke. You go, fuck. And then you gotta get back in. That's what this was like for me.
Okay. That's fair.
Some of the jokes landed, like you said, but there were a lot where I was just like, in what way is that a joke?
Yeah. That's fair. That's very accurate, actually. Yeah. Because there were often times where it was, my daughter would laugh or something like that. And I'd be like, okay. I see what they meant to do, and it worked for what they wanted a child to laugh.
Yeah, you got the 6-year-old to laugh. That's great.
Yeah. Like,
fantastic.
Yeah, way to go.
I think I could do that with a squeaky voice, but it's hard to say. We meet Jamie Foxx, who should learn how to carry blueprints.
I know. That was another... It's an all annoying thing.
Yeah.
Like a side annoying thing. It's like, who would walk around like that? They're all pointed every which way. Yeah. He's running into everything he can. Because
he's late and in a hurry. Classic just trope.
Yeah, and why would you have those blueprints at home?
That's a good question. Why would you have them all there? Yeah. Not just like the last most important one you were finishing up details on, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe it was a side project. It could have been a side project, because it sounds like he made some other schematic or something that they stole from him.
Right, so the power grid that he ends up, against OSHA regulations, working on himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's... He was just a bit too caricature-y.
Yes.
Like, he's much more of a normal character in No Way Home.
Yeah.
And he's technically barely in that movie.
Yeah.
Like...
That's true.
He doesn't really say much or do much. He's just there to be Jamie Foxx and cool...
Which he was.
And he was. And it worked, and it was fine.
Yeah.
In this, and I do like that they made mention of the bad teeth and a comb over in No Way Home.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, you're such a caricature.
Yeah, you do
almost the entire time. But, and there were parts where I was like, okay, I get that kind of desperation and being that much of a loser and crazy person. Because I remember when I first saw this, the whole, well, Spider-Man didn't come to my birthday party.
Yeah.
That he wouldn't have had any idea that existed.
Yeah.
Like, but there was a part of me that was like, he's just that crazy.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But do that then.
Yeah.
Like, be, talking about Joker again, be Arthur Fleck crazy.
Yes.
Where he imagines, spoilers, this relationship with this woman that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But the movie's not deep enough for that.
No.
So it just comes off stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're right. I mean, I'm just thinking about it now. Like, you could have him, like you're saying, be more of a normal person during normal times, and also just not be seen because of that, because you don't stand out whatsoever.
Yeah.
But you would stand out being this much of a weird-looking dude.
And this unbelievably awkward.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever see the Big Bang Theory with Billy Bob Thornton?
I don't think so.
He's this doctor that Penny sold drugs to, and you know she was using her flirty sales technique.
Okay.
And he's such this loner loser that like when she touches his arm, he counts the Mississippis of how long she's been touching his arm, and then falls deeply in love with her.
Okay.
And so he is, the whole reason he gets into the story is him delivering flowers to Penny because he's madly in love with her because she touched his arm for 10 Mississippis or whatever.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like, it is a long time.
It is a long time. Anyone, I think it was like 5 Mississippis. But okay. Anyway, there's a certain amount of Mississippis. But
yeah.
At any rate, he's like that.
Right, yeah.
Because even when Emma Stone talks to him for 5 seconds in the elevator and then says Max at the end, the name that she found out 20 seconds ago, he's like,
yeah, she remembered my name. And like almost ran out to catch her or something.
Like, oh.
Like, you're going to be my wife now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could totally see that being someone that exists.
Sure.
There are people like that that exist.
Okay.
It's a frightening thing to think about, but it's true. But instead of playing that for laughs, play that for what it is, which is frightening.
Yeah.
And make him that kind of scary villain so that, and I think it's tough because you can't go the Arthur Fleck route because that's a very hard R movie that would scare the shit out of kids.
That's true.
So, I mean, there is a balance.
Yeah.
Which it is, but that's how I rationalized it watching it this time, where it's like, that's who he is.
Okay.
Because even when Dan DeHaan comes and saves him, and he's like, oh, we're friends, so I can be your friend and you can use me.
Right.
But it doesn't go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
He just goes crazy, overloads himself, and then dies.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay.
Yep. That's all we get?
Yeah.
All this build-up, all that for just that little fight?
Yeah.
Oh, and the movie's not even over?
Yeah. And it made me think of the problem with Spider-Man 3, which is, yeah, do the black suit. Yeah, do Sandman. You know, yeah, do Electro and do something with that. But save Venom for Spider-Man 4. Mm. Save Green Goblin for Spider-Man 4.
Yeah.
Or 3. Spider-Man 3. Like, set all this stuff up.
Yeah.
And tease the idea that Gwen could die.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a break from the Stacy deaths that we know are coming.
Yeah. He's knocking them off one at a time.
Yeah, and he does.
He's got mom and two brothers.
The books. I mean, the way she dies in this, aside from the setting, is exactly how she died in the books. Mm-hmm. The falling, the catching, the snap, which even, like, I was taking notes and I was working on other stuff, like the project I've been working on I told you about.
Yeah.
I was doing all that throughout most of the movie and taking notes for this.
Yeah.
When that was about to happen, I stopped. And I put everything down, and I just sat there. Because I knew, of all the things from this movie that I don't like, I knew that worked.
It did.
That was the only thing that I always gave kudos to, was the death of Gwen Stacy was done perfectly.
Yeah.
And it was.
It was.
And it's still, just talking about it gives me chills. Like, it's just fantastic.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. And it emphasizes even more in No Way Home when he saves MJ. And it's just, like, that's what I'm most excited for, to have my daughter watch. And I'm hoping she'll
put it together.
Yeah, put it together. Because I remember it. It was like, he did it. He finally did it. And you can see it in his face. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps from that.
Yeah.
It was great.
I might have to watch No Way Home when you leave. Jeez. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
At least the last half of it, anyway.
There you go.
Let's see. We jumped all over the damn place.
We did.
But yeah, I mean, it's going back to Spider-Man and Max's, you know, a very intimate connection because he was able to read his name tag and know his name. Fine.
I know.
And Peter being late for graduation and Gwen wins valedictorian, which was a cool moment that was then paid off at the end.
Yeah. The speech, it was good.
And I have a note in the fun facts about that speech, which is actually pretty cool.
Nice.
I also like Stan Lee in the crowd. I always see that gif or that meme of him in the crowd pointing.
Yeah.
And I forgot where it was from.
There you go. I was thinking, too, I remember when I started thinking, it was before, obviously, we saw him. I was like, what is his cameo in this again?
Yeah.
And then when I saw him, I was like, ah, oh, yes, great. Of course Stan sees him.
We miss Stan.
Yeah.
He's so fucking great. I liked that he kept seeing Captain Stacy.
Yeah, me too.
I also liked that Dennis Leary was willing to come back for it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he's just seeing flashes of scenes from the last movie.
Right.
Like, Dennis Leary actually had to show up to sit in that car or stand in front of this thing.
Right.
Or be on the blue screen for a day or whatever the fuck he did. Yeah. It's probably what he did. But he still did it.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It was.
I think it worked mostly. It wasn't overdone.
Yeah.
When it happened at the end, I was like, I kind of had forgotten about it because it's kind of a long movie, mm-hmm. yet still not long enough. But
yeah, it was like 220-something.
Yeah. But even by the... And I think the problem is the ending.
Okay.
There's so much crammed into that ending
yeah.
that it seems rushed.
Yeah.
But it actually is kind of a slow, even burn movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're jumping around, so I don't need to go super shot for shot here. And I took a shit ton of notes, so I'm apologize for all of the...
I scrolled and I was like, oh my.
There's... Yeah, well, it's... I think that for the most part, it was done pretty well. I mean, I was starting to get annoyed about the whole Peter stepping away from Gwen and saying, oh, we can't be together. And mm-hmm. her even mentioning, like, you've done this a million fucking times.
Right.
Stop doing it.
Yeah.
I know why you're doing it. I've told you I'm okay with it. So knock it the hell off.
Yeah.
And then her having to go, okay, then go away. Like, I kind of liked that, and the fact that he kept checking on her, as he would.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, it worked when eventually it was like, we're not going to see each other.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Right.
And I think it worked as the theme of the movie, of him keeping her in his life is what led to her death. Her not being able to stay away from him. Is what led to her death. If she had just listened to him,
mm-hmm.
she probably would have been fine, because the only reason Harry put together that Peter was Spider-Man was because of her being there.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, and I almost wish in an alternate reality that they had had a fight there, Gwen wasn't there, then he found out.
Oh, okay.
Then it's the next movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's them and the Sinister Six, then she dies. I think that would have been better.
Okay. That would have worked, yeah. Yeah.
It would have spaced it out. It would have given you a little bit of hope of like, oh, maybe it will work out. Maybe okay. he found a balance. He stopped Harry after all. He's going to prove the naysayers wrong and they're going to make it work.
Right.
And the next movie shows how it's not going to work.
Okay. Because,
I mean, it's essentially what they're doing with Tom Holland right now. They did it in a much more subtle, kind of kid glove way of MJ has a Band-Aid on her head at the end of the movie because she was slightly injured-ish at the end.
Yeah.
But you can tee up the fact that they need to stay apart. That yeah. he can't have that happy ending because the people he loves will be in danger.
Right.
You talk for a while. I'm running out of air.
Well, thanks for leaving me on something to talk about. That's perfect. I get what you're saying, but I think since we got the reception that we did, we'd all be disappointed that we'll never see it.
Yeah.
Because we won't. Mm-hmm. There isn't going to be another one. I don't see them doing another one. It'd be awesome. Yeah. I just don't see it. There's too much money that we'll have to go into that and all that. And Sony is focused on stupid things instead.
Let's make Madam Web the movie no one ever asked for and no one will ever watch again.
Yeah, and let's make a Kraven one without Spider-Man.
Yeah, worked with Venom. Did it, though.
Thank you. Did it, though. I know people like him, and I'm glad that you do. I am. Good for you. It is. It's great for you. Why shouldn't you enjoy it? I don't.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's not as good as you think. But I'm glad you enjoy it. I don't want to crap all over it, so I won't.
Fine. We'll do that in October.
Yeah.
Because 3 is going to come out. Save the Last Dance or something.
I wish I could say no. That'd be stupid. They wouldn't name it that. But I think they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I think it's called The Last Dance.
Yeah, not Save, not the, save last the Last Dance. But still. But the Last Dance.
Ugh. I liked seeing Novak as Smythe, even though he's barely in it, from The Office.
Oh, yeah. PJ Novak, yeah. It's like, Novak, yeah. I know, he was barely in it. It works. It. I don't know. I always see him as from The Office, and I've seen him in maybe just two other things. The movie he wrote, directed, and starred in, and then this.
And in Glorious Bastards.
Oh, yeah. He was great in that.
Yeah, well, he's barely in it. Not against him, but like he's not, like in this, he's just Ryan from The Office with glasses.
Yeah.
Like...
A little and, more of a dick in this.
Yeah, but I mean, when he was the main boss, he was basically this.
Yeah. I guess that's the beard.
Yeah, that helped. And, I mean, Smythe is an interesting character if they had done something with it. Because he creates the Spider Slayers and all this other stuff. And he could have been the one making the mechanical suits. And I think that's... Something that kind of irks me on this is that they tee up all this intrigue. Mm-hmm. Like, they're keeping tabs on Harry.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, yeah, it must be Harry, because otherwise they have no reason to keep tabs on Peter.
Yeah.
Because they don't know he's the one that got bit by the spider.
Yeah.
And then they kind of show that they're keeping tabs on Harry later when he is looking through the files and he finds something, then he's blocked, and then they try and pin everything on him.
Yeah.
But why? Like, what the fuck is... I can't remember the name of the... Ravencroft or whatever?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah, not a clue. Because we only see what they do to Max.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you assume that they're doing more to other people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we never see any of it. That would have been more interesting to see.
Well, and it's... And I think that's one of the things that kind of hurts the movie still, even in this, you know... New eyes rewatch where we actually like the movie, but it's still like, why? What are, like, you can't be Lex Luthor from Beavis going, I have a file on every superhero with their official logos on it because I do.
Yeah.
Like, at least with Lex Luthor, it kind of makes sense because he's nuts. But, sure. Like, what is the end game for this company that has... Octopus tentacles and vulture wings pre-made and a rhino suit.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a theme going.
Yeah. I know. But why? Yeah. What is your
and
reason?
Then you have a suit that's supposed to heal because the thing on his wrist said it's healing him.
Yeah.
But he's worse.
Yeah.
But it has a glider.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
I know. And that was, I remember that being a big thing too. It's like, why are all these things, why are all these villains in the basement of Oscorp? What is the point?
Yeah.
And we never get an answer.
Yeah. And I feel like if we got that Spider-Man 3, we still wouldn't get that answer.
No.
It would just be, okay, now look at all these cool villains. Isn't that cool?
And exactly it, yeah. And yeah, I don't get it. And I guess, now that you brought it up, it makes me wonder, why were they trying to get rid of Harry? It sounds like Harry would have been on their side. Hey, look at all these other experiments we're working on. Maybe one of these will help you. They don't have to.
They hated him from the word go.
Yeah. And he wants the same as you, just he wants it for himself.
Yeah.
You can just use that as. Yeah. As, well, here's some more experiments we can do. I think it'll help you. And it won't, but just do it.
And then manipulate him into doing what you want, whatever that is, which is world domination, I guess.
I guess.
Which is a little too comic booky for me.
Yeah.
Like, even in a world with Loki, like, at least that makes sense.
Yeah.
They teed that up to where he thought he would be a king. You're just a crazy organization about science.
Yeah.
Your founder just died trying to cure himself from Goblin's disease.
Yeah.
Which you get one of the greatest actors there is. I don't remember his name off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's good.
Even in the Muppet movie, he's fantastic.
It's so funny.
Okay. They get him to sing and shit. Oh, it's so funny.
I just remember him from... Jason Bourne.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't he in A River Runs Through It, too?
I don't know.
I've been looking at movies for like a week straight, so I've got a bunch of shit in my head right now.
Everything runs together for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but It's just,
he's fantastic, and it's like he's in it for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
There was a deleted scene, I think, of his head in a jar.
Of course.
That would still be alive or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's...
Hook up one of those healing things to him.
Yeah. It's just, there's so many little things that make this movie not quite make sense.
Yeah. It's like they wanted so many Easter eggs, and they just didn't care of the payoff for any of them.
Yeah. Batman v Superman syndrome, where it's like, well, we have a plan. It's a title of a movie, Sinister Six.
Yeah.
How are we going to get there and why? I don't know, but Sinister Six.
I mean, I didn't remember them saying it, but it felt like they were going to say, when he was like, how many do you want? I thought he was going to say six. And yeah. Like, why the fuck? Why would you say an exact number? And good thing they didn't.
I know.
I also wouldn't be surprised if they did.
They very closely did. He's like, I want to keep it small. Why?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I thought of when they did that scene is like, why are they going to him?
Yeah.
First of all, I assume he's in prison.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
I can't quite figure out why.
Nope.
Because nobody knows what he's done except Peter.
Yeah.
Which I guess you could say that he told the police what he did.
Yeah.
Because he works with the police. Like, what? Talking stupid jokes. Why did he have to put on the fucking fireman helmet?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was weird, too, but my daughter loved it. So I was like, whatever, fine.
And that's why.
Yeah,
and
that is.
So, and I watched, I was just like, why? Like, okay, use this fireman hose. Fine. It makes sense. Water, electricity, bad.
Yeah.
That whole scene is great. That was another highlight that I always look back on, was I remember that slow-mo saving people on the stairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scene
is putting the web and all that. Yeah, it's cool.
The action in this movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the fucking helmet. I was just like, just without the helmet, I would have been fine. But he had to, like, people are seconds away from death.
Yeah.
New York is literally crumbling around you. But let's take a moment for a gag.
Yeah. I think it would have worked if after they saved everyone, he was like, hey, can we take a picture? And then puts it on.
Yeah.
And poses for something.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And everyone's okay.
But you're right.
And I'm yucking around. But no, he's like, oh, everyone's about to die. And literally the city is crumbling around us. Can I see your hat real quick?
Yeah, let me put that on. And let me at the front holding the hose.
Yeah.
The non-professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid. It's the little things. But the again,
little things.
My daughter laughs. I was like, whatever.
The little things add up to a stupid movie.
Yeah.
Like, this had a lot going for it. That just
didn't meet the mark. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. It's too bad.
And maybe another place I think it could be is at this Ravencroft place. But that's even more like, why are you coming to him?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And it's, I don't know. Yeah. And we're not going to, obviously, like I said, we're not going to go shot for shot. I know I took a shit ton of notes, but we're just kind of riffing here. And
yeah,
we'll pick out some highlights to keep going.
This will work.
God, I had a thing. So he was doing more or less fine, Harry.
Oh, yeah.
He had a bit of a shake that his dad noticed, because that's the beginning of the end of the progression of the disease, to where you get goblin claws and scales, which in, I feel like that's an Ultimate Spider-Man thing.
Okay.
I don't remember how Norman became the monstrous Green Goblin, but in, like in the classic comics, he's just crazy. It's much more like Willem Dafoe, where he's nuts and he puts on a suit.
Okay.
In Ultimate Spider-Man, he becomes that creature.
Okay.
Like in Spider-Verse at the beginning, where he's a big monster creature.
Yeah.
That's very much more in line with what he looks like in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay.
From what little I remember of reading that 20 years ago. But he's more or less fine.
Yeah.
And then he goes very crazy very quickly, which again, you know, we gave it to Jamie Foxx and his psychoses.
Mm-hmm.
You can let slide that you just saw your dad die of something that he is telling you that you have.
Yeah.
Spent his whole career looking for this thing and couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And now you're tasked with figuring it out or dying yourself.
Yeah.
In the slow, painful, monstrous, literally monstrous way.
Yeah.
So, like, I get the logic. Mostly.
Yeah, it works. I understand that, yeah, you would be in a hurry to figure out this thing, and you'd be very on the edge, but...
And it's a movie.
Too much. Yeah.
So you have to have that happen. But that's, again, that's why I wish this had happened over the course of two movies.
Yeah.
Again, obviously, we don't know what Amazing Spider-Man would have, 3 would have been.
Yeah.
Not very good, would be my guess, but you never know. Yeah. Because they just wanted the Sinister Six somehow.
I know.
Don't ask Cal, just say wow. I say that at work all the time.
I like it.
Yeah, there's just, we'll talk about that later. Okay. but yeah, it's just, I wish that they had shown how the lengths he would go to and the fact that he helped Electro escape and blah, 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 blah. Like everything up until him actually getting on that glider to also then be there at the end to kill Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
Take that out. Save that for the next one. And then do your Sinister Six.
Yeah, that could work.
And don't kill Electro, because he's one of the six.
Yeah. No. I got another six.
I mean, he's electricity, so they could always say that he reformed somehow and he didn't really die.
Sure. Did you not see the bar go down to zero?
No. No, I didn't.
Yeah, no, you could have brought him back that way for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he traveled through... I remember watching the movie at a certain point when he travels through the electrical current to get into the office and he had a super suit, thinking, okay, I'll give you the fact that he had pants because he can't not have pants. He can't be Dr. Manhattan just free-flying.
Yeah.
But he then appears in this ultra-nice leather suit that was just tailor-made to him.
I know.
And it can also dissipate and travel through.
Well, he went down to the basement first.
Oh,
they didn't show that deleted scene.
That was in the fifth case.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. Come on.
But it's Batman v Superman issues. Like, just one of these things by itself, I can let go. It's a compounded problem where you have all of these issues all coming in at once that equals a bad movie.
Yes.
And again, I like this movie, though.
Yeah, I
like,
had fun
I would
with
actually,
it.
Like, watching this again, I would be like, I would actually watch this again, which I didn't think I would be saying today.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. I know, yeah, we are shitting on it, because there is a lot of stuff that's
there's a
annoying.
Reason there wasn't a third one.
Yeah.
Like.
But it was still an enjoyable movie. It's not a terrible movie.
No.
It just has a lot of little annoying things that you should have done different or left out.
Yeah. I mean, this year will be the second annual Howard the Duck Awards, so it's not like a long-standing tradition, but one of the categories we have is Biggest Surprise of the Year, and unless Craven ends up being the masterpiece I'm sure it will be, this might be my surprise for the year, because I totally expected to hate this movie.
Yeah.
Almost everything else I go into with some sort of cockeyed optimism.
Okay.
Like Elektra, Hulk, like I'm trying to come at these things with, you know, maybe.
Right.
You know, it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
Maybe I judge you too harshly.
Maybe. And in those cases, I did. Well, I know you don't like Hulk and Elektra as much as I did, but
yeah.
Watching them again, I was like, yeah, they're not good, but they're good enough. I can watch this and not want to gouge my eyes out and shove them in my ears. Yeah. I can enjoy this and could see myself enjoying it again in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same. I think this might make that spot this year because I expected to be in pain for 2 hours and then intrigued for the last half hour.
Okay.
And it was kind of the reverse.
Okay. Intrigued for the first 2 hours?
Yeah. And then in pain
for the last half hour?
Yeah, kind
of. Okay.
Like going through most of the movie, I was like, this isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's not great. The train.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I still don't understand it.
It's so stupid.
I don't understand the point. I really don't.
How? Why? Huh? What?
Yeah.
Like, everything up to this point of Richard Parker being this brilliant man who stumbled upon these super spiders that I'm not entirely sure what he thought they could do that was so bad.
Yeah, because it sounds like all they do is they can heal themselves. And,
yeah.
And it all sounded like good things.
Yeah.
And what was the bad part?
Well, and that's the thing. It's this horrible organization that's doing these horrible things, but you don't know what any of those horrible things are.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me.
Okay.
It doesn't give it a reason, but it gives some explanation as to... So, I think Richard Parker figured out what they are actually doing.
Okay.
With this technology.
Building suits in the basement?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they're building towards. And this would make them unstoppable because whoever they get into those super suits could then be unstoppable.
Yeah, superpowered essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're but why is still the ultimate question that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And we got no glimpse of an explanation so far. Yeah.
And that's what's so vexing about this movie. Because there's no one from Oscorp that we really identify with, know as a character, that we can have go, this is what our end game is. Even the secret man with the hat, who could have easily sat Harry down in that last few minutes, yes. Or in a post-credits scene, like Marvel's been doing successfully for the last, 6 years at that point.
Yeah.
And tell us why.
Yeah, here's what your dad had planned.
Yeah.
Lay it all out.
Or what we have planned, because the dad even seemed like he just wanted to find a cure. He was a little crazy, but we don't necessarily know that he was wanting to take over the world. He just was trying to find a cure and couldn't.
Yeah, maybe he just fronted the bill because he was hoping it would cure him too.
Yeah.
That works.
And this evil organization, because we know that organizations are ultimately evil.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But why?
Not a clue, yeah. Aside from, we assume they want to just take over. Okay. That's it.
Why?
Yeah. Like, just because?
Yeah, funsies.
Were wrong. Like, what?
And there is superhero logic to back that up. There are people who just want to take over just because they want to take over. I mean, that's the warlord mentality. You know, it's a comic book trope. But tell us that, then.
Sure, yeah. Tell us something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a reason why. And that's the thing. When you look at the actual comics, as I'm coming at it as a classic comic fan, going, well, Doc Ock got his arms because he made those arms to do his experiments, and it went wrong.
Right.
Vulture, I think, was just some crazy old man that created the technology.
Okay.
Essentially like what they did with Michael Keaton, but it was, like we've talked about, it was a green suit with feathers on it.
Yeah.
So... why would someone pre-make those things?
Yeah. Yeah, they made those things out of a necessity to help them.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. They're just making these. Or to then
fight Spider-Man was the other thing.
Right.
Like the Rhino suit, I think, was a crazy Russian mobster guy, and they basically tricked him into being welded into this suit for his entire life in order to fight Spider-Man.
Okay.
But if that's not the case, why?
Yeah.
And if it is the case, why?
Yeah.
Because other people, it was like, oh, it was Kingpin. He's a crime lord. He wants crime because crime is good.
Yeah.
Greed is good.
Right.
Gordon Gekko. But why?
Yeah, we never get it. Yeah, not even a glimpse at it. No, oh, I'll explain it later. Nothing.
Yeah,
it's just shut up and take it. This is what you want.
The DC what? Method.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like those movies, you know. Even watching the extended version of Beavis, I enjoy it. I've watched.
I think that's the only way it makes sense, right?
It is the only way it makes sense.
Yeah.
Classic Zack Snyder. You have to watch the 3-hour-long version. Like I loved Watchmen.
Uh-huh.
I've read it many times. Loved the movie when I saw it, but it doesn't really work as a movie.
Yeah.
When you watch the full big one that's almost 4 hours long, it's fantastic. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
But...
I'm kind of over his whole... Oh, it's not done. Because his latest one is Sucker Punch. It's not done. Even the director's cut isn't done the way I want it. It's like, then why'd you put it out?
Money.
Exactly. And I know that's the answer. I never
watched Sucker Punch.
I enjoyed it. It was very interesting. I enjoyed it. You know, it's not some great movie that you need to go watch. There's some story to it, but it was fun. But I'm just, it's all there is with this guy. Like, I put one out, Oh, that wasn't what I wanted to put out. I put out my director's cut. My
true vision is this super long epic that we could never release in theaters. Well, then have a different vision. Watchmen, yes. And that's the thing. Watchmen is different.
Okay.
You're adapting a book. Right. All of these other things are loose adaptations of story threads that have been in the comics for 70 some odd years, and you pick and choose your favorite things. Watchmen is 12 issues. Hmm. It's these issues. It's like doing Lord of the Rings or right. Harry Potter. This is what this is.
Yeah.
And you adapt this. So with that, it makes sense. And that ultra-realistic, gritty violence is what that book is.
Okay.
That's not what Superman is.
Yeah,
that's kind of what Batman is, but not quite. Yeah. We'll talk about that stuff some other time. But anyway, that's the point of Amazing Spider-Man 2, is just like they're trying to fit the entire something or other into this small vessel.
Yeah.
That it just can't hold.
Right. And got super confident that they're going to get another one.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
And it's so tough because one of the things I've always thought of, like Green Lantern is one of my favorite comic book characters. And I've always felt that you should plan that franchise as a trilogy, at least. Because okay. It's so big, so epic. There's so many things you can do to tie in little things that you almost have to grand scale it and bank on there being sequels. Hmm. But they have to be good on their own to get those sequels. Exactly. Otherwise, you get an Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Green Lantern 1, where it's done and there's no more. And yeah, there's a bunch of potential, but you're never going to see it. So yes. It's a fine line.
Yeah.
That not everybody can do. But on the flip side of that, you see studios like Marvel who just tossed it out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how Marvel was able to capture people so well and do it so lightheadedly, but you look at like Captain America 1, mm-hmm. where they just kind of toss out the idea of the Winter Soldier. Right. If you don't know it's there, you don't even see it.
Yeah.
But I saw it because I know it's there.
Right.
And then you pay it off in 2 and 3, and it looks like you've been planning it since day 1.
Yeah. I think that is the key, is don't bank on it. Is have it be an option, and if things work out, yeah, we're going to hit it, and it's going to pay off, and it's going to be great. Hmm. And we're going to look like geniuses. But if it doesn't, we put out a good movie, and we had to pivot a different way. Hmm. And that's not what this movie did, and it's not what a lot of other movies do.
And it's so crazy, because, I mean, just thinking Winter Soldier, I'm like, okay, so they, in Cap 1, they tee up Bucky falling. Mm-hmm. You don't see him die, which, again, it's PG-13, you're not going to see him on the rocks anyway, yeah. But you just see him fall.
Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. There's no funeral. There's no nothing. No body is recovered. Nothing.
Yeah.
Comic people know Winter Soldier. Other people just go, oh, his friend just died.
Yes.
Then in 2, you bring him back. Then in 2, they tee up this little notion, which is not in the books as far as I know, that he killed the Starks.
Right.
It's this blink and you miss it. If you're not paying attention, you don't even think about it thing. Yeah,
that's right.
And then it's the biggest thing in the world in Civil War.
Yeah.
It given me goosebumps thinking about it. Like that, I remember seeing Civil War, and they even show us at the beginning of the movie him killing his parents.
Yeah.
And you forget about it.
Yeah.
And then it comes up again, and I get goosebumps talking about it, because at that moment I went, oh shit, that's what this movie's about.
Yeah. That's how he's beating them. Yeah. Yeah, and it's because, and it probably is, and it is on purpose, obviously. Yeah. It's because they're having you focus on other things and making you think that, no, this is his plan. This is his plan. Yeah. This is where he's going. They're
spoon-feeding you that he wants super soldiers so that he can have an army to take over or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's
and you,
the exact opposite.
We all show up together and it's, no, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Then what the hell?
Yeah.
And then you get shown and you're right. It's what? I knew this? What? You spoiled this at the beginning and you're just showing my, oh, it's great. It's so cool.
And this, it's, we're doing the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? We're going to do the Sinister Six.
Yep.
And by the way, just so you don't forget, we're going to probably do the Sinister Six. Yeah. And they're announcing the movie before this one's even out.
Yeah.
And
it's not what you do.
No, it's almost riling the blood in a bad way, because I think about it, I'm just like, God, they could have, if they'd just pumped the brakes.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with DC. If they'd just, and they kind of corrected course, but they could never get the tail going the same direction as the head. And just be patient.
Yeah.
Come up with an actual plan, not a movie title.
Yeah.
There's a line from Studio 60 where the guys are talking about, I don't remember what they call it, but it's like the one sheet plan. And the studio's like, I want to make, and this is the reference they use, is I want to make Green Lantern. I can see the one sheet now. Hmm. And I don't know what the story is or how we're going to make it, but oh, isn't that one sheet, which is a movie poster if you don't know, and isn't that going to be so cool?
Right.
That's what they did.
Yeah. Like, how cool will this poster be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool, but...
How?
Why? Yeah, yeah, why is it... Like, what's the story behind it? Yeah. Well, we didn't really work on that. Have you seen the poster, though?
Looks pretty boss. Yeah. It's too bad.
It is.
I don't know what else we need. I don't even know how long we've been going.
I don't either.
So many tangents.
I feel like we've touched on everything though that's worth talking about. And if we haven't, please let us know. But yeah, I still enjoyed it. I know we kind of crapped on it this entire time, but it really did have a lot of good stuff in it. And again, even the web slinging and the action and all this stuff was really cool. And I enjoyed it. And it sucks that this is the route that they took, and they just decided we're not really too concerned with this story. We just want to get to Sinister Six, but it is what it is.
Yeah, because I mean, and I know we touched on her death, but it's so well done.
It is, yeah.
Even the parts where she's fallen, but he saved her, and then right. She falls some more, and he saves her again. That scene where he's pinned down or pinning down Goblin. He's got his foot here and his arm here and the web's there.
Yeah.
It's so like, I know what's happening and what's going to happen, and it's so fucking tense.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, just get there. And when he doesn't, and you see it in the slow-mo, which in other movies is terrible, but in this, it's so gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And then you see the web and he caught her. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to... I've said it before, I'd love to be somebody else sometimes, and then I'd also love to be somebody else watching these movies sometimes.
Yeah.
And not know the things I know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know she's gonna die.
Right, to think, okay, oh, we caught her.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the hit, and...
And you see and hear the snap.
Yeah.
You see her head go back and hear the snap, which is exactly how it happened in the books.
Yeah.
As he grabs her by the leg, foot, her head goes back, and there's this little snap or click sound
right
on the panel, and you discover that she died.
Yeah. Ugh. I know.
It's just crushing. Even the stuff with Aunt May at the end. I mean, you have Sally Field, one of the greatest actresses there is.
Yeah.
Gave her nothing to do the entire movie.
Yeah.
She was a nurse for some reason, so that she could be trying to help people when the electricity's out.
Yeah, I thought she was just going to nursing school, but I guess, hey, why not have a school in the hospital? On-hand
training, that's part of it.
Yeah.
I think that's how nursing training goes, but I don't know.
Yeah, probably in the later years. The first years are probably a lot of, book work and stuff like that, but I guess, yeah, so it works.
Yeah, but it's so not necessary.
Yeah.
But she has this amazing speech at the end.
Yeah. Excuse me. And you had a speech thing that you wanted to talk about. You said we'd get to later.
It's in the fun facts.
Oh, that's right. That's fun facts. Okay.
But the Sally Field speech, and there's moments kind of like with Rosemary Harris in the original trilogy where it's like you assume she knows.
Yes. I was just going to say, like, she knows, right?
And I think, yes.
I think so, too.
But they know, and that's kind of how it is in the books of like, I know more than you think I do, dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say it because I don't want you to freak out, but I know.
Yeah.
Because some of his excuses were so dumb.
Yeah, I washed the flag.
I washed the flag.
Yeah.
I was cleaning the chimney we don't have.
Yeah.
What? We don't have a chimney? What?
I know.
Oh, stupid jokes.
Yeah.
Just hurt my brain.
But they hit for certain people.
Yeah.
They did.
10-year-olds.
Yes. Correct. But yeah, she had to know, because you're right, at that speech, and she knew what he was watching, and she was, it even looked like she was kind of looking over, like, to get his reaction, and then he gets up, and where are you going? Like, yeah, she knows.
Yeah, she was having, it was kind of like the speech Rosemary Harris had in Spider-Man 2 of, like, I believe there's a hero in all of us.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to say it, but you know. You don't just say those things.
Right.
Just out of conversation. Yeah. I know it's a movie, and it's a Sony movie, but there's still a limit.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, right. Same with Sally Fields. You don't just say those to your normal person. You say that to Spider-Man, who you think needs to hear it.
Yeah. And it worked.
It did.
It was great. And it's that, and I even loved the little kid. Yeah. Like, I remember thinking that was stupid at the time, but watching it again, I was like, you know, this is actually pretty fantastic. The only stupid thing is the time that they had to do it without Paul Giamatti killing them immediately does not make sense given the character they established.
Yes.
He's a crazy asshole with guns.
Yeah.
He's just going to fire randomly, whatever. Yeah. He would have killed the fucking kid.
He would have.
Or at least taken shots when Spider-Man was just standing there talking to the kid.
Yeah.
But still liked him.
Yes. Yeah, it worked. And I'm glad it was a kid that we already saw earlier and all that. So it worked. Yeah.
And it wasn't corny, like, again, I hate to keep dissing on DC, but like the Russian family and the Joss Whedon cut of Justice League. Of like, here's the people you have to care about while this wasteland is going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
No, we don't. We don't have to at all. Yeah. I don't want to. Yeah. They escape and I go, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I'd be just as fine if they didn't. Better, actually, because I'd care more. Oh, they didn't make it. That sucks. They shouldn't have lived there anyway. It looked like a really shitty place. Yeah. Looked like Chernobyl, which has been evacuated for 30 years. It did. Oh, anyhow, man. And it was stupid. Let's get some fun facts from Easter eggs.
Let's
and get
do it.
Out of H. Okay, I'll start. The film features a little real-life tie-in with the Sunny Maritime College where the Ravencroft exteriors were filmed. The distinguished researcher's plaque that appears in these scenes are names of actual past naval officers from the school.
Oh, okay.
And the next thing is the thing that I've been...
Oh, I get to read?
There. Yes.
Emma Stone personally wrote Gwen's graduation speech. Wow.
Yeah.
Props to her. That's right.
She's great.
Yeah. That's impressive. It really is. Yeah. Cool.
That's my turn again. Shailene... Oh, I remember this. Shailene Woodley was cast as Mary Jane and even film scenes, but her role was cut from the film because the filmmakers felt there were too many characters and wanted to streamline the series. Just think if that was also in this.
It is too much, yes. But... Yeah. Take something else out. Like, I don't know, the whole fucking basement. All right, whatever. At around 22 minutes, the dog that Gwen walks while Peter spies on her from a rooftop was adopted by Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone in 2013. She's just bringing all of her personal things into this movie.
Well, and they were actually a couple.
They were?
At the time. I don't think they are still.
But. No.
This is the first Spider-Man film to be filmed entirely in New York State and the largest film production ever in New York City.
Nice. Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich?
Mm-hmm.
Brady?
Huh? Isn't that Han Solo from Solo?
Was it? I think it might be.
I think so.
Yeah. Brady Colbert, Eddie Redmayne, Sam Coughlin, Douglas Booth, and Boyd Holbrook were considered to play Harry Osborn.
I like some of them.
Yeah, I think I would like any of them over the Dane. I don't know. He plays a good freaking weirdo.
Yeah.
So I
liked
that.
Him a lot more this round. Especially, like, even there, I know we glanced over a lot of shit, but when they first interact, I was like, really? They were... childhood best friends, like that's, and you're just gonna shoehorn that in so that they have a reason to interact.
Okay. I know.
But it did work.
It did
for me, and him being kind of this loner closet weirdo, and then he slowly starts to be a normal personish because this kid who knew him before he went crazy is there.
Yeah,
It was like, okay.
It definitely humanized him, and I think they needed it.
Yeah, because otherwise he's just this crazy loner weirdo.
Yeah.
And you're just crazy.
Yeah.
And nothing you do is surprising because you're just crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So even though they still basically did that.
Yeah, so they definitely needed it.
All right. Easter eggs. Felicity Jones's random character is actually a character. Her name is Felicia, which is a reference to Felicia Hardy, a.k.a. the Black Cat, a villain slash antihero and occasional love interest of Peter Parker.
Okay. I wonder if they would have gone into that at all. Who knows?
They could have.
Yeah. BJ Novak's Alistair Smythe is a regular Spider-Man foe. He creates the Spider Slayers and eventually a robotic suit to become a supervillain named Ultimate Spider Slayer.
He's not great with names, but...
But he can build a suit.
Yes. Lots of robots. In the film, the Ravencroft Institute is a secret Oscorp facility. In the comics, a facility of the same name exists, although it's a government-funded psychiatric hospital for supervillains.
Same thing.
Which is more or less what they're doing there, except for the hospital part.
Yeah, it's just who fronts the bill.
Yeah.
At around 1 hour, when the reporter is interviewing two bystanders after Spider-Man's first battle with Electro, they speculate that Spider-Man defeated him by wearing a rubber-slash-neoprene suit, which is how Spider-Man first defeated Electro in the comic book. Oh, very cool. Yeah. I thought it was weird. It's like, what was the point of interviewing these two kids? Yeah. It was for one Easter egg.
Yeah. I thought it was really lame when Jamie Foxx was like, call me Electro.
Yeah.
Bitch.
I know we said we were done, but you're reminding me of something. All of the voices when he was Electro and it was just set to this metal music.
Right?
What? Where did this come from? Because we didn't get that before. This, back to what you were saying, is if you had these voices before, it would have been so much better. Because now they're here out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Is it you? Is it like...
Is it actually the music? Yeah, I forgot about it. I know.
Like, what is going on? Are you just hearing it? Are you just hearing electric... Yeah. Like tones, and you're interpreting it as these voices and these words,
which is cool.
That would be interesting if you explained that in any way, but it's just, I don't know. Yeah,
I forgot it. Yeah, because it was also kind of cool and catchy.
Yeah,
it's also,
it had a beat to it.
Yeah, and it's just like, get him, he got you. It's just like, this is,
yeah,
it's stupid, but it's cool.
Yeah, but it's also stupid.
But it's also stupid because, it's like, is this, are you just trying to make us feel like he has a reason for doing what he's doing?
Yeah. Which he's not crazy. It's the voices that are crazy.
Which is also fine. It worked for Doc Ock.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah. The Ravencroft scientist who experiments on Electro is a male version of Dr. Ashley Kafka, the founder of the Institute in the comics. An actual doctor in the comics, she's treated villains such as Electro, Vulture, Carnage, and Doc Ock in her career.
No. Yeah. The Venom symbiote appears briefly in early trailers for The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Of course does it really? I don't remember, but that doesn't spread.
Okay. But strangely, it was later replaced with Dr. Octopus's arms. Okay, so it was in the basement.
I kind of remember that.
One mention of the character still remains in the film, though. When Harry Osborn is browsing through Oscorp's database of secret projects, one of the files is titled Venom Storage.
Which is more or less what they call the... What they extracted, it was Spider-Man Venom that they extracted from the spiders, so there's that.
Yeah.
Which is a way to do Venom.
Sure.
I feel, I'm trying to write a version of a sequel of this in my head and going, that could kind of work. Where Spider-Man's looking for a way to stop six psycho jackasses with metal suits. So he goes to Oscorp, because why not, I guess.
That's where they all came from. Maybe there's...
Yeah, and then he finds this ultimate weapon of the symbiote.
Yeah.
But it also makes him go crazy, and then he has to overcome it. There you go,
Sony. There you go.
I wrote you your fucking movie that you'll never make, you stupid assholes. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 finally reveals the identity of that mysterious man from the end of the first film. Did it, though? His name is Gustav Fiers, and in a trilogy of Spider-Man novels, he's a super criminal known as the Gentleman, who assembles a team of villains under the Sinister Six moniker. So they're basically trying to do that without giving us a reason as to why, or actually saying that that's who he is and what he was doing.
Correct.
because he was in the last one. He's the guy that showed up to talk to the Lizard in the jail cell and then disappeared somehow.
Right. Could have ran with that some more. Yeah. Anyways, last one here. The Sinister Six. Vulture, Rhino, Dr. Octopus, Kraven the Hunter, Mysterio, and Green Goblin are referenced in the end credits after the Vulture wings and Doc Ock arms in the secret villain bunker.
Yeah.
Which you mentioned.
Yes.
Well, there we go. That's The Amazing Spider-Man 2. We did it. We made it. We're alive. It wasn't that bad, but it just has a lot of little things wrong.
Yeah. As I said, I could see myself watching this again in a handful of years. Maybe I kept wanting to do, after No Way Home, a big Spider-Man-a-thon. And watch them all, and then watch the Tom Hollands and get that kind of No Way Home payoff and stuff. And it's like, I get why people want sequels to those original characters, given that we saw them again.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's better not to.
Yes. Have that sequel in your mind, everyone.
Yeah.
It'll be better.
It is. It's always better. It's the Wolverine origin problem where it's like, you can imagine so many great things, but once you say this is what it is, Joker's the same way. Once you tell that story, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be what everybody has in their head. Maybe some people, or it'll get close enough, but most people are going to be like, well, no, that's not what I thought it'd be, so it's not as good.
Yeah. And I feel like that is what's happening with the current comic book movies. So much speculation, so many ideas that are great.
Yeah.
But they're not what we got, so this movie sucks.
Yeah. That's more or less the problem with Marvel now.
Yeah.
Is, and I, we're guilty of it too.
Yeah.
But we also have perspective.
Exactly.
And we know, like, I love Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, there were plenty of things that I thought it would be. I keep thinking that's what Deadpool 3 should have been called, is Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's going to be much more maddening, all the wacky shit that he's going to do. But, like, we built it in our heads that we were going to get Secret Wars and Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
And we didn't, so we were disappointed.
Yeah.
And showing everything in the trailers didn't help either. But, like,
that's fair.
Let the movie be what the movie is and judge it on that. Like, I like Thor Love and Thunder. I like it more than Ragnarok. Just barely.
Okay.
Just barely. The humor's better in Ragnarok, but the story's better in Love and Thunder.
All right.
That's what I tell people. And I'm sticking to that. Fair. But just let it go. It's in the past. You can imagine a world where Toby and Kirsten got back together. You can imagine a world where Andrew Garfield seemed like he was on the upswing, but he spiraled. With this, it makes me kind of, now that I remember everything, go, wow, what happened next?
Yeah.
Because if Harry's out and all these suits are loose, back.
Yeah.
But whatever I imagine that to be, he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked out in its way. Or he's, you know, in some barren wasteland, like Days of Future Pasting it, trying to survive, you know, Spider Slayer attack all the time, which would also be fucking cool.
That would be cool.
But like, proving the point, whatever we have in our head is better than what we're going to get.
Exactly.
And everything is essentially, he gets the black suit, goes crazy, and then has to stop being crazy.
Yeah.
And I'd rather see Tom Holland do that than Andrew Garfield.
That's fair. All right. All right, everybody, that is it for this week, for this movie. If you want to let us know what your thoughts are, please do. But next week, we are going to do something different that we just kind of thought of before recording. And hopefully it's going to work out.
I think it'll be fine. Whether anybody listens or cares is hard to say, but I think we'll get through the episode.
All right, good point. But the idea is we're going to pick, Justin wants to do top 10. I'm not sure yet, so we'll see. You'll know once you listen to the next week or see the title at least. But it's essentially we're going to pick 10 of our favorite movies from the Avengers characters is how we've decided. We've put some limits to it. So, for example, Iron Man, you know, Robert Downey Jr., what is your favorite non-MCU? I didn't preface that yet. So it has to be non-MCU, our favorite Robert Downey Jr. movie.
Yes.
Whatever that may be.
Right.
And so on for any other characters that we want.
Seven, Scarlett Johansson. Any favorite films that the actors of the MCU have done that aren't Marvel movies.
Yes.
Or even comic book movies.
And are they have to be the star of, yes? Not just a side character in?
We can do that.
I think we'd have to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because most of them have had their own movie.
Yeah.
Or show.
Oh. Is that a hint at one of
no,
Justin's?
No, I was just thinking of Jeremy
You
Renner.
Won't know until next episode. He didn't say no. Yeah. I just mean
Shut up.
Mouth. Sizzle.
I have no fucking clue who what I'm going to pick for pretty much anybody, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, same. Yeah, it would just, our talks beforehand, it kind of led to this. We thought it'd be an interesting idea, so if it's not that next week, we have too much problems.
Yeah.
And we'll do it another time or never.
Yeah.
But thank you guys for listening for this episode, for all episodes, for any and all. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. If you want to reach out, go to the website, wearemarvelpod.com. Email us, wearemarvelpod@gmail.com. When you're on the website, go to our merchandise page, find a logo that you like, put it on a shirt like Justin's wearing, a mug, a hoodie, whatever you want. Find us on social media. We are Marvel Pod on everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, Justin.
I think so too, Jeremy.
All right. Well, this was a fun one. Mm-hmm. We'll be back again next episode with what we've talked about or something else. We will see.
Yes.
But thank you again for listening. Until next time, I've been Jeremy.
I've been Justin.
And we are Marvel. Bye.
Bye.